She heard the love in it. There was no speaking, no way to speak. If she tried, she'd burst into tears, and maybe she still would. Her beloved Sandlin, her brother, she fought so hard to keep him, to make his life everything it could be. She would have sacrificed anything for him. Somehow, by some miracle, she found a man who loved her enough to want to do the same thing. Francesca put her hands over her face. "I don't know how we're going to be able to do this, but I guess—" She trailed off, looking at Emanuele. Emanuele groaned, threw her hands into the air, and shook her head. "You're so whipped, Sasha. That man is going to walk all over you just the way Stefano walks over Francesca and Rico walks on Mariko." "Do I walk on you?" Stefano asked Francesca, his voice genuinely confused. Another round of laughter erupted. Sasha was happy the spotlight was off her and on Francesca and Stefano. She knew if Giovanni said one more word to her, she would burst into tears. She was good at keeping her emotions in check, but her eyes burned and her chest hurt so badly she could barely breathe. She needed to be alone to find a way to pull her wild emotions back in check. It was silly to be so emotional, but she had just seen her man put his love into action, doing it for her. Something huge. The lump in her throat was enormous, so much so that she could barely breathe. "If you'll excuse me for a minute?" Immediately the men stood, which always embarrassed her. She gave them a little salute and hurried away. Luckily, she knew her way around since spending the night in Stefano's penthouse. She made her way down the hall to the other wing, where Giovanni had shared a bedroom with her. She stood for a moment in front of the mirror, staring at her flushed face. Her hair was down. She wore a long skirt and a peasant blouse. The feel of the material was softer than anything she'd ever known. Where Lucia found such treasures, she had no idea, but she loved nearly everything in the boutique and was grateful it hadn't burned along with her apartment and the deli. The door opened, and Giovanni slipped through. He closed it after him. "Are you all right, baby? What's wrong? If you really don't want to get married immediately, I won't railroad you into it." That was it. The sound of his voice, that gentle, tender, sweet caring that could bring her to her knees. She burst into a storm of tears, wild, unrestrained. She wept for her dead parents and the boy who had been her brother, always there with her, always looking out for her, teaching her how to ride, how to rope. Sandlin. She covered her face and wept. The sound of her sobs filled the room, and it was enough. Her sorrow could have filled the entire penthouse had Giovanni not closed the door behind him. He crossed the room and took her into his arms. She kept her hands over her face, but pushed her face into his chest. His arms locked around her, and he put his head on hers. Sasha wasn't certain how long he held her, but she found herself in his lap where he sat on the edge of the bed. When she could finally get herself under control, he was rubbing her back, rocking her gently, and murmuring how much he loved her and everything was going to be all right. "I'm sorry," she whispered it. "I couldn't help it. I think I had a breakdown, like a complete and utter meltdown. I swear, Giovanni, it was like a tsunami. I was afraid I wouldn't make it out of the room before I completely went to pieces. You're insisting on marrying me immediately because of Sandlin, aren't you?" She forced herself to get her head out of his chest so she could look up at him. His eyes moved over her face. She knew she was a mess, but it didn't seem to matter to him. He still looked at her as if she was his entire world. "I want to make certain Sandlin has the chance to be a big part of our wedding, and then our marriage. He's your family, and that makes him mine." Her fingers curled into his shirt, and with her free hand she thumped his shoulder. Not hard, just a strike and then another, protesting the truth. "You're doing it because you talked to the doctor, and Sandlin's going to die, isn't he?" Giovanni took a breath. She felt it right through her, as if they were sharing the same skin, the same muscles and bones. He breathed, and so did she. "He did, didn't he?" We're all going to die someday, Sasha. We can only live our lives the best way we can. I believe in family. He gestured toward the dining room where his brothers and sisters were. I love them. I try to enjoy every minute I have with them. I think they all operate the same way. We live life large because we know it can be over in the blink of an eye. I had a younger brother, Ettore. All of us loved him. He was really amazing, Sasha. We learned from his death that we can't always have those we love with us every day. So, when we're together, we make certain to love one another, enjoy one another, be in those moments, right there, right here and now. I want to do that with Sandlin. She took a deep breath, hoping he felt it the way she did when he had breathed for the two of them. I love you so much. I understand what you're saying. I do. And I'm so sorry about your brother. I didn't know. His hand stroked caresses down her hair. I love you, baby. I love everything about you. We're going to include Sandlin in what we have. My family wants to meet him. They'll visit him as well if he likes them and is comfortable. I've been thinking about asking the doctor if he thinks it would be good for Sandlin to live with me, with us. We could hire a private nurse. I'm willing to work extra hours to pay for it. Baby, that was one of the first things I asked. I told him about the house and grounds, the gardens. I even said if he thought it would be better for Sandlin to go back to Wyoming, we would do that. He said Sandlin was far better off where he is. He'd be confused, and at this stage, his world has shrunk. But that's just it. If he was with me, he could get better. I could talk to him more, remind him more. She knew she was fighting a losing battle. That terrible pressure in her chest told her she needed to face the truth. They could try to operate one more time. That was sheer desperation, and she knew it. You know, he said that would kill him on the operating table. His arms tightened around her. I'm so sorry, baby. But we'll make his life so good while he's still with us. You'll be free to spend more time with him. He'll like that. I've already talked to Stefano about getting the library more current. We can get him the books you think he'll love. She pressed her face tightly against his neck. I don't want to lose him. I know. We're reaching out to the other doctors, the leaders in this field, and gathering all the information we can, just in case there's something his doctor has missed. She heard the determination in his voice. She knew there wasn't. She'd spent the last 2 months researching. Still, she hoped. She took a deep breath to fight back the tears threatening again. She had Giovanni, and he was willing to fight for her brother with her, to give him the best life possible, no matter what that took. Thank you. Just thank you. I don't know what I'd do without you, Giovanni. You probably wouldn't have a madman burning down your apartment. She sat up straight. If this person is really targeting Aaron and not you, maybe it was the picture that Aaron took of me that was the catalyst. That was his opportunity to start his campaign against Aaron. Then Aaron played right into it by sending me flowers. If he talked to his friends about me, about having the picture. She trailed off, frowning. Would he do that? If he was competing with someone, it's possible. Men play sophomoric games. You caught me when I was telling the finer points of my game to you. And look at John Darby. He goes to extremes. But his frat boys definitely have games they play at college and with him. I know that Aaron can't be faithful. He never stayed with a woman long. Or maybe it was because he was in competition with someone else, and the moment he got the girl, he didn't want her anymore. Sasha said, Giovanni, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but sometimes I just know things. I feel this is exactly what Aaron was doing, and whoever he plays his little game with is the one that is framing him. Giovanni's hands went around her waist, and he gently lifted her off him. Let's get you washed up. She stood shakily on her feet, absorbing the feeling, savoring the way she felt loved by him. She needed him more than ever, when she never had felt like a needy woman. I must be a mess. When I cry, I get all red and splotchy. You're beautiful, baby, but I'm not a big fan of you crying. That breaks my heart, and I feel like I have to go slay a few dragons. She couldn't help but laugh. Giovanni made everything better. Everything. Even the truth about Sandlin. He was right. She needed to be happy with whatever time she had left with him. As she washed up in the bathroom, Giovanni stood beside her, as if they'd been doing such things for years. It felt comfortable. He met her gaze in the mirror. "I'm going to talk to Aaron." She shook her head. "Whoever this man is, he'll be looking for that. If he sees you talking to Aaron, he'll be afraid you're figuring it out. Right now, everyone is safe. Only if we're right. We can still take precautions." Giovanni caught her to him and lowered his mouth to hers. His kiss was wild, so hot it scorched her, so sweet it sent her heart tumbling over a cliff. "You look beautiful." "I don't have more makeup. They're going to see the real me. I love the real you." Holding hands, they walked back to the others, who had retreated from the dining room to the great room, where they had after-dinner drinks in their hands. Stefano looked up. His gaze slid over Sasha, clearly seeing too much. His gaze moved to Giovanni, and something passed between them. She realized Stefano had been concerned about her. They all had. A part of her was embarrassed that she'd broken down over the realization that Giovanni knew Sandlin's time was limited and he wanted to include him in the wedding, in his family. This one. The one that was so accepting of her. "We've been throwing out the idea that Sid Larson or Chesney Reynolds was involved. But looking over the reports, it appears as if both have alibis," Stefano said. "Sasha thinks I shouldn't be seen talking to Aaron," Giovanni told his family after explaining her theory. "But the only way to find out if he regularly competed with someone for a woman is to ask him." "She's right," Stefano said. "Right now, if this man is trying to frame Aaron, he thinks his job is done. He can't attack anyone else, not without blowing everything he's put in motion. He's handed the cops their arrest and conviction. He isn't going to think that our family might champion him. If you suddenly show up at the jail visiting Aaron, that's going to make this man crazy. He might very well retaliate. In fact, most likely, he'll be worried enough to strike at you, Sasha, and Sandlin." "One of the others has to talk to him," Sasha said. "Unseen. I know they can do it. You said so. If that's the case, someone else has to visit him when no cameras can catch them, caution Aaron not to tell a single soul about the visit, and then ask him." Stefano shook his head. "It's too risky. That's not what we do, Sasha. When we come out of the shadows, anyone who has seen us doesn't survive. How would we explain to Aaron how we got there? We can never appear anything but normal." Sasha and Francesca burst out laughing. The others stared at one another as if confused. "Tell us what the joke is," Giovanni prompted. "There's nothing normal about any of you. No one thinks that," Francesca said. "The first time I ever saw Stefano, I thought he was a member of the Mafia, and a very mean one at that. He scared me to death." Stefano flashed her a smirk. "I still scare you to death." He looked very pleased at the idea. Francesca laughed and snuggled closer to him. "You keep telling yourself that, babe." "She's on to you," Emanuele said. "No more bossing her around, especially now that she's with child." "I love how that sounds, Francesca. You're with child. Are you planning on telling Eloisa?" Stefano threaded his fingers through Francesca's. "Not for a while. Francesca needs to feel secure that she's going to carry this child with no more complications. I'm not quite ready to forgive Eloisa the things she said to my wife behind my back. We don't keep things from each other, and she should have known that. What she says to Francesca, I wanted to say to my face." A little shiver went down Sasha's spine. She would never want to be on the wrong side of Stefano, especially if it had to do with Francesca. He obviously loved her very much. Francesca was completely comfortable with her husband. His scary demeanor didn't affect her in the least. Sasha realized she'd gotten that way with Giovanni. She knew with absolute certainty that he'd never hurt her, and he would fight for her whenever it was needed. "What about the wedding?" Vittorio asked. "Will Eloisa be going to that?" Sasha's first thought was, "Hell no." But she was Giovanni's mother. She saw them all looking at one another and then at her. Giovanni's arm circled her waist, and he pulled her against his chest, so her back was to his front. His arm locked just under her breasts. She didn't like being so exposed. Her face still felt swollen and tight from crying so much. Sasha couldn't help it. She reached up to shield her face, trying to pull her hair subtly to cover it. Giovanni's mouth was instantly against her ear. "Baby, you're so beautiful. You take my breath away. Don't be embarrassed because you love someone and were emotional. That's amazing. You're amazing." She leaned her head against his chest and reached back with one arm to circle his neck. The action lifted her breasts and pushed her bottom tightly against him. At once, his teeth tugged at her earlobe, and she wished they were home together. She loved their home. She loved him. She wanted all this to be over, so she didn't have to worry night and day. "What do you think, Sasha?" Mariko asked. "Would you mind Eloisa coming to your wedding?" "She's much better once you're actually married. Prior to marriage, she views you as a threat to the family, but after," Francesca said, "you are family." "She still says things that are difficult to take," Sasha said. "You've been her family for a while now, yet she thought nothing of coming in and making you feel bad." "She didn't know I had 2 miscarriages, Francesca pointed out. Stefano made a sound like a growling panther. "Baby, you're the most forgiving person on this planet. Eloisa needs her head examined, and if she ever speaks to you or any one of my sisters, new or not, like that again, she is going to be officially banished." Francesca gasped. "You can't do that, Stefano." "Watch me, Francesca." His voice was harder than ever. "I'm not putting up with it. She isn't mellowing. She's getting worse. What happens when she starts talking to our children that way, or taking them out for her kind of training sessions? She learns now that she can't behave that way, or she goes." Sasha believed him. Every word that came out of his mouth was a decree. "If I invite her to the wedding, is there a way to keep her from Sandlin? I can handle anything she says to me." She paused and looked up at Giovanni. "As long as you realize I can get ugly. I dealt with bulls and grew up surrounded by cowboys dealing with bulls. I don't like being pushed around and usually push back hard. As long as Giovanni's all right with that, I won't have a problem. But Sandlin's too sweet." She hated the way her voice broke. Giovanni's arm tightened and he dropped his chin to the top of her head. "Baby, you can say whatever shit is warranted if Eloisa is ugly to you. As for Sandlin, we'll tell her if she wants to come. The requirement will be that she has to stay away from your brother." "Then we should invite her. She's your mother, and I don't want to start off on the wrong foot." Taviano snorted. "Everyone is on the wrong foot with Eloisa, Sasha. Francesca has been the sweetest being on the face of the planet, and our lovely mother is ugly every time the two get together." "She has problems, Taviano," Francesca excused. "Then she's had them for years," Stefano said. "Since I was born." He downed his bourbon and held out his glass to his brother to fill. Vittorio took the glass and crossed the room to the crystal decanter. He glanced back at his younger brother. "Eloisa has been down on Nicoletta since the start. Does she know that she's a rider?" "I don't know. I don't even care," Taviano snapped. "The fact that she knows what an ugly life Nicoletta has had, but she has no sympathy whatsoever for her, is enough for me." "She has no compassion or mercy in her," Vittorio agreed, handing the glass back to his oldest brother. "I'll go talk to Aaron," Emanuele said. "I can get in without being seen. Give him an explanation he would believe and ask him the questions." Giovanni shook his head. "Thanks, Emme. I love you for it, but If Aaron is playing bullshit competition games with his male friends, he won't tell you. It has to be a man. He sent me chocolates. Sasha turned her head to look up at Giovanni as realization swept over her, but the position was awkward. She stepped away from him, commanding the room. James Corledge, Aaron's friend. After the incident in the club, Aaron sent me flowers with an apology. I remember, Emanuele said. He did it in person. I thought it was so sweet that he wanted to pick them out himself. That same day, I received chocolates with a letter of apology from James. One sent flowers, the other chocolates. Were they trying to one-up each other? Giovanni snapped his fingers. You also received hand-picked flowers, from your stalker. What do we have on them? I know their names were on the list for the investigators. I have the files on them. It seems Regina and Rosina spent some time looking into them, Stefano said, flipping open one and handing the other to Vittorio. James is the up-and-coming fighter in Aaron's weight division. He can't compete with Aaron, Giovanni said. He can't get the title away from him. Sasha's breath caught in her throat. Could this all be about a division title? Not anything to do with her or Giovanni? A fight title? There was silence in the room while they all gave that some thought. Stefano shook his head, frustrated. I'm looking at the dates of each incident. Corledge has a solid alibi for two of the incidents. The other times he claimed he was sleeping. Same with Tom Maryland, Vittorio said. He was seen by other fighters at the gym on two of the dates. So, our suspects all have alibis. That leaves us with Aaron, Giovanni said. I still don't buy it, but I'm beginning to think I could be wrong. All of us have alibis when you're guilty as hell, Emanuele pointed out. They aren't riders, so none of them move through shadows. But maybe they have another way, and we're just not figuring it out yet. Chapter 19. The weekend was crazy. More people were jammed into the club than ever before, pushing the number to full capacity with people standing in a very long line outside, hoping for a chance to come in. The extremely famous DJ inside, working her magic with the music, kept the dance party going hour after hour. Sasha worked the upper tier, not once looking at Giovanni. The tabloids were full of their broken engagement, all due to Giovanni's roving eye and his tryst with Meredith Benson. Meredith was there. The paparazzi shooting her photograph over and over. Word was, she was a pariah in Hollywood, and the one project she'd been about to work on had been yanked out from under her, due, the papers said, to the fact that she refused to come to work two mornings in a row. That was standard Meredith diva behavior, but her numerous absences, causing delays to the film, cost her dearly. There was no way for her to fight the decision, since they had plenty of evidence. Usually, it was too costly to bring in another actress when the film was a quarter of the way done, but in this case, another producer had funded the project. There was wild speculation who the producer was, but so far, the identity hadn't been uncovered. She sent notes to the Ferraro table, but Giovanni didn't so much as turn around or deign to look her way. His brothers, as they came down the stairs to dance, didn't look at or acknowledge her either. She was the center of attention with the flashing lights on her, but for the first time, she didn't seem to want the attention. The MMA fighters arrived just after one, very pumped up after their bouts. James Corledge and Tom Maryland were the two big winners, and women flocked around them. The other fighters laughed and joked with them, cheering for them and buying them drinks. Sasha took the tray of drinks to their table and set them in front of the various fighters and their women. As she turned to go, Corledge caught her arm. I wanted to apologize for the way I acted last time I saw you. I was upset over your engagement to Ferraro, and I took it out on you in a very ugly way. She gave him a small smile. Thanks. I appreciate the apology. No worries. She turned away from him again. Tom Marilyn stepped in front of her, blocking her way. I owe you an apology as well. Aaron was really upset about losing you to Ferraro, and he's a good friend of mine. James and I stayed up with him all night after the news of your engagement broke. James nodded. I thought we might have to take him to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Tom sighed. He was so upset that we both thought you'd been in a relationship with him and had dumped him for Ferraro. It was only a couple of nights ago that he admitted he'd never been with you and, in fact, barely knew you. I felt like an idiot.
It's okay, really.
No, it's not. There was no excuse to talk to you that way, Coolidge insisted.
That picture he took of me, the one that ended up in the tabloids, did you know he had it?
She bit her lip and lowered her eyes.
Before it ended up all over the magazines?
The men looked at each other. She sighed.
I can see from your faces that Aaron shared it with you.
Tom nodded. I'm sorry. It seems I'm always owing you an apology. He sighed. Aaron thought you were beautiful. He had dozens of pictures of you on his phone. He showed them to us. That's why I thought you two were a thing, and you had cheated on him with Ferraro. But, he hesitated, he also liked to share his women. It was a thing. I think he's a bit of an exhibitionist.
Sasha had to turn her head away. Tom and James were painting Aaron with an entirely different brush than Giovanni had. Who was right? If it had been just Tom or just James, she would have thought one was lying, but both of them? As a rule, she could hear lies, and she was hearing a mixture of truth and lies. But what was true and what was the lie? Did they have it wrong? Had Aaron been the one trying to kill her? If so, what could possibly be his reason?
Sasha, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know.
Coolidge persisted. Another woman caught his arm and pulled on it in an effort to remove his hand from Sasha. She glared at Sasha.
Run along, honey. You're supposed to be serving drinks.
Candy, don't talk to her like that. Coolidge reprimanded, his voice harsh. He bunched his fist in the woman's hair. Candy winced, turned red, and when Coolidge returned to his seat, pulling her with him by her hair, she curled up at his feet. He held a glass of vodka and grapefruit to her mouth, and she gulped it down, some spilling down the front of her. Several of the men laughed and turned to kiss the women sitting on their laps. Disgusted, Sasha turned away. She made her way down to the bar where Alan looked her over.
You look tired, honey.
She glanced up the stairs to see Tom and James both watching her. Immediately she looked away, not wanting to see them anymore.
I'm all right. Just need a little break. I've been at this for hours. How did Nancy ever work both tiers? It seems just when I serve a round of drinks to a table, they're already asking for more. One tier is all I can handle. Thank God. I don't have to work both.
She didn't work both tiers unless her partner was ill, Alan corrected. He glanced at his watch.
Take your break. It's only a couple of minutes early. If you're back a couple of minutes early, it will even out.
Thanks. I think I will.
Being too close to Coolidge and watching the way he treated the woman he'd brought with him turned her stomach. She was tired of seeing so many women debase themselves in order to try to marry money. She went down the stairs and headed straight for the employee lounge. She'd just gotten her heels off and was sitting back, her head against the very comfortable back of the chair, when the click of heels told her she wasn't alone. Cautiously, she opened one eye. Meredith Benson stood over her, hands on her hips.
"Go away," Sasha said. "I mean it. Go away, or I'll call security and have your ass hauled out of here."
Meredith's breath hissed out of her like an angry cat's.
"How dare you talk to me that way? Do you have any idea who I am? You're the skank who had her tongue down Giovanni's throat for show. I came in here to tell you that he had nothing to do with it. I know that. You made a scene, kissing my man, making him look bad just because you're so vain you wanted to be the one to dump him. One doesn't get dumped if it's a one-night stand. Go away."
Meredith ground her teeth.
"I'm trying to be nice and repair the damage I did. You're trying to get Giovanni to let you have your career back. That's the only reason you would follow me in here and tell the truth. Have you forgotten? Or don't you read the crap you contribute to? Giovanni and I are a thing of the past. I have absolutely no influence on him at all. She shooed Meredith away. Go. Maybe one of your many lovers will take you back after you dump them for the publicity. Meredith pulled her arm back to hurl the heavy glass she held in her hand at Sasha. A hand caught her wrist and yanked her backward. James Corledge took the glass from her hand as Sasha slowly sat up. Get out of here, Corledge advised. Meredith backed out of the room, her face twisted with malice. Sasha sighed. Thanks. She doesn't like me. I'm not certain why. Not when she's the one trying to screw things up between my supposed fiancé and me. His eyebrows shot up. Supposed fiancé? I saw the ring on your finger. Tabloids lie all the time, but that ring was real. She shrugged. My boss did me a favor. My brother was in a car accident and suffered a traumatic brain injury. I don't have a lot of money or clout. The Ferraros do. Giovanni was nice enough to offer to help. Being engaged made it easier to breach patient confidentiality. Being a Ferraro made it so much easier to get to the administrator's ear. Meredith actually did us a favor because we would have had to find a different way to break up. He was silent a moment. None of it was real? Not all those hot looks? She laughed. I should have been an actress, right? No, none of it was real. The Ferraros are very loyal to anyone who works for them. They've been extraordinary with me. I was so worried about Sandlin, that's my brother, and they straightened things out. I can pay for the facility, but I couldn't get to the doctor, and I needed to do that in order to understand why they hadn't scheduled another operation. You work too hard. He pulled her foot between his hands and began a foot massage. It was intimate, too intimate. It also felt good when her feet were screaming at her. She knew she should stop him. Giovanni was going to have a fit, and James made her want to curl up and hide, but her feet hurt so bad she didn't care. "Isn't your girl going to get upset with you, James?" Deliberately she used his first name. "She isn't my girl. She's a groupie. Women like fighters. She'll do me and then the same night crawl into someone else's bed." Her stomach lurched. Wyoming wasn't that far away. Cattle ranches weren't the end of the world. She had never considered herself sheltered. She always believed men were the ones doing very bad behavior and playing ugly games, but she was getting her eyes opened about the women who pursued fighters. The wealthy, athletes and diplomats. It was no wonder these men didn't have much respect for women. They had become conditioned to get anything they wanted. She let her breath out slowly, once again feeling that maybe she didn't belong there. Still, she had a job to do. I was so shocked to see on the news that Aaron had been arrested for starting the fire and stalking me. Have you been to see him? James frowned and shook his head. It doesn't surprise me. The cops were by to interview all the fighters. Tom is his closest friend. He wasn't surprised either. We knew he'd fixated on you after he got so drunk when he found out about the engagement. His fingers moved over her bare feet until she wanted to groan in appreciation. The door opened and slammed closed behind Tom Maryland. He glared at James, his hands on his hips. "What's going on in here?" he demanded, his gaze dropping to James's fingers, stroking along her heels. "Just giving the lady a foot massage, Tom. She's been working all evening in those high heels. We were talking about Aaron." At once, Tom crossed the room to sit down on the edge of the lounge Sasha was sitting on, forcing her to scoot over. "That's such a tragedy. Aaron going off the deep end like that," Tom agreed. "He was drinking too much, and I think it just got to him. I'd tell you he was a good guy, but I'm pretty certain I'm not going to convince you of that." "You know, neither of you is supposed to be back here," Sasha said, uneasiness creeping into her voice, as if she didn't want to get into trouble. "How did you get back here? Security is everywhere tonight." "They've got their hands full with drunks," James said. "I slipped a couple of guys some money to start an altercation, just pushing and shoving a bit on the floor.
Tom nodded. It isn't that difficult. Sasha was very uncomfortable being so close to Tom, especially with her feet in James's hands. Aaron burned down my apartment with everything in it. She continued their earlier conversation. So, no, I don't think you're going to convince me Aaron's a good guy. Worse, he could have really hurt my brother by setting off charges in the ceiling of the place where he's getting care. The door swung open again, this time slamming shut so hard the crash was louder than the music. Tom jumped to his feet. James swung around to face the threat, and Sasha jerked her feet out of his hands as Giovanni stalked in. Anger darkened her fiancé's face. He wasn't acting. Yeah, the foot massage, as good as it felt, probably wasn't the best idea. What the fuck, Corledge? Keep your fucking hands to yourself. Corledge stood up slowly, straightening to his full height. Sasha could see the muscles rippling in his body. He looked coolly confident. If he knew that Aaron trained with Giovanni, he clearly hadn't bothered to assess his fighting skills. She doesn't belong to you. The hell she doesn't. Giovanni. Someone had to be the voice of reason. He knows you were just being sweet to me for my brother's sake. Giovanni's dark eyes swept over her, and she pressed her lips together very tightly. He wasn't going to hear the voice of reason. He was angry, more than angry. Giovanni in this mood was actually a little terrifying. She had never seen this side of him. Tom moved, trying to circle around to the side of Giovanni, and her heart plunged. He would weigh in on Corledge's side. Both men were MMA champions. She knew Giovanni could take one of them, but both coming at him at the same time? You have no right to be in here. It's an employee lounge, and it says so right on the door. Get the fuck out. Giovanni's glide to the side of the room with the least furniture was almost imperceptible. It took him closer to James, but put distance between Tom and him. At least she didn't have to worry that he wasn't aware of Tom as an added threat. What do you plan to do? Call security so you can hide behind them the way you always do? I suppose that makes you feel like a big man, to call your security force, to deal with real men who fight their own fights. James, Sasha cautioned, hoping that concentrating on the enemy might get better results. You don't want to get banned from the club. It was totally the wrong thing to say, and as soon as the words left her mouth, she knew she had just amped up the trash-talking. Taking a breath, she moved her feet to the floor. If Giovanni was going to have to fight James, he wasn't going to be fighting Tom at the same time. Right, because that would be the chicken-shit thing he would do, James taunted. Do you think I need security guards to wipe up the floor with your ass? Sasha looked up at the camera, silently begging one of his brothers to come help. She knew they had to be watching. She wanted to scream at them to get in there. For all they knew, one of the two men had a gun with him. She didn't know which of the two was guilty of framing Aaron, but she was sure one of them had. Whichever it was, he was bound to be willing to kill Giovanni. James rolled his shoulders. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Tom echo his movements. Giovanni was perfectly still, but he looked casual, like a lazy tiger regarding two cubs challenging him for territory. Or a woman. This is silly. James, Tom, you have to go back upstairs before everyone does something they can't take back. She tried again. Baby, you go on upstairs. Giovanni prodded. Get back to work. That wasn't happening. She wasn't leaving him alone with a possible madman, one already proven willing to use bombs, fire, and bullets to get his way. Giovanni was ruining their entire plan, or he had another one she just didn't know about. James launched himself at Giovanni with a series of kicks. Giovanni blocked every one of them, his fist slamming down again and again on James's legs as the MMA fighter tried using his famous forward snap kick and equally lethal roundhouse kick to drive his opponent toward Tom. Giovanni didn't give ground at all. He stood loose-limbed, his feet under his shoulders, elbows tucked in until he lashed out with a block. He was strong, and when he hit, it was as if he was dropping a hammer down. James was limping a little as he backed off. Holy shit! You really do hit that hard. I thought the first time you clocked me it was me being drunk thinking you hit like that. It was obvious to Sasha that James was trying to keep Giovanni's attention centered on him so Tom could move in. Tom hurled himself into the air, both feet driving at Giovanni from the side. Simultaneously, James did the same. Giovanni didn't move. Sasha did. She threw her high heel right at Tom's face. She'd spent her entire life on a ranch, and when she needed to hit something, she did it. The high heel slammed into his face hard, throwing him off balance because he saw the missile coming at him at the last minute and tried to deflect it. She shouldn't have worried. Giovanni blocked both men's attacks, again striking hard with a closed fist, slamming it on exposed thighs to give them a dead leg. Tom dropped out of the air to hit the ground on his butt. James staggered back. Tom kept moving, this time going for Sasha, sweeping her legs out from under her. She hit the floor hard. Tom was on her in a second, punching toward her face. The first blow hit the floor as she rolled. The second hit the back of her shoulder. He never got a third shot in. Giovanni stomped him hard, kicked him in the ribs, and flipped him over with a third and fourth kick before James could get near him. James got in one shot as Giovanni was turning toward him, but then it was over. Giovanni moving with blurring speed, hands and feet pounding until both men lay on the floor bleeding. Sasha dragged herself back to the chair and threw herself into it. "What is wrong with you, woman?" Giovanni demanded.
"I was helping. They weren't fighting fair."
"Neither were you," Tom groused.
"What the fuck did you hit me with, a tank?"
He spat blood.
"It was a shoe, you moron," Sasha said. "I think you broke my shoulder."
Giovanni's hands were there, gently moving over her, checking for damage. "What the hell was this about, James? You knew Aaron trained with me. You can't take him. If I can beat the shit out of him, it would stand to reason that you can't take me." He indicated Tom with his chin. "Did you tell Tom about Aaron sparring with me?"
"Aaron couldn't quit bragging about it," Tom said, spitting more blood.
He pressed his hand to his mouth and glared at Sasha. "That was always his trouble. He talked so much trash, he didn't know when to quit."
"Big fucking deal, sparring with a Ferraro," James added. "Never did a day's work in your life. Walk around all badass carrying a gun and looking dangerous? You think that's going to impress us? Not likely. Aaron was an idiot."
"He caught all the women," Sasha said. "I thought he was so hot when he was in that ring."
Giovanni glared at her. She fluttered her lashes at him.
"He got shit," Tom said.
"Women were all over us."
"He told me you competed for women," Sasha said, "and he always won. I have to admit, I can see why. He just walked up the stairs, and you could see all that power. He bragged he took every woman from you."
James swore. "Fucking liar. I won my share of the bets."
"I did too," Tom said. "Aaron ran his mouth, but he lied all the time to make himself look good. The bet on you was $50,000. He needed the money, so he had to get Ferraro out of the way."
His gaze shifted just for a moment to James.
"You bet $50,000 that you could date me?"
James climbed slowly to his feet.
"We don't date. We fuck 'em and then drop 'em. That's the bet."
She nodded.
"I see. He shared that picture of me with both of you, didn't he? And you all three made the bet."
"Of course he did. To give us an incentive to work harder."
James laughed. "Then Ferraro snapped you up and killed the plan. All along, it was just a ruse."
"What do you mean?"
Tom asked. "She wasn't really engaged to him. It was so he could help her straighten things out at Hendrick Center." Tom scowled. "You've got to be kidding. The brain-dead patients." He stood up and staggered to the door. Sasha started to protest, furious that Tom would talk about the patients at the center that way, but Giovanni put a hand on her arm and shook his head. They watched the door close after them, and then she glared at her fiancé.
"Why didn't you let me tell them off?"
Fury made her voice tremble, but it was at the two fighters, not Giovanni. "We were already skating on thin ice, baby." He caught her chin and examined her face for bruises.
"I don't understand.
When you told him we weren't really engaged,
You never mentioned the center's name. You said your brother had a traumatic brain injury. Anyone who didn't have a family member or friend in the facility wouldn't know about the facility. And Tom wasn't present for the conversation. He referred to the patients as brain dead. It's both of them, together. Stefano and Taviano entered the room, both obviously overhearing the last thing Giovanni said. They'd been watching and listening from the control room. Stefano indicated the door that led between the lounge and the hall, where the two men had disappeared. That's why their alibis checked out. When one was doing something, the other was seen. Once we went back and looked at anyone who would benefit from Aaron being out of the way, we concentrated on both Corledge and Maryland. Maryland is a firebug. He has a sealed record of starting multiple fires as a child. He went into the army. They didn't look at his sealed records because they couldn't. He also is very good at explosives. And Corledge? Giovanni asked. Corledge is a very sick man. He likes to hurt women. He's had three relationships where his partner has ended up in the hospital, Taviano said. Sheesh. She rolled her eyes. It's funny that Tom is the one who hit me when Corledge probably wishes he could have. Which is why none of us wanted you here in the first place, Sasha, Stefano said. You could have really been hurt. You needed me to help carry out this plan. I told you I'd be all right. She couldn't help the smugness in her voice. He got his hands on you. Giovanni glared at her. You let him touch your feet. I was getting information, and you burst in here like a crazy person, she protested, feeling slightly guilty. There wasn't supposed to be hitting. In any case, I needed a foot massage. You want a fucking foot massage, Sasha? You get it from your man, not the ones we suspect of trying to kill you. That's my cue to leave. I have to go back to work. She rolled her shoulder experimentally. It hurt, but not nearly as bad as it had when Tom hit her. More likely, he'd grazed her when she was rolling. You aren't going back to work. We already have another server working the second tier, and Nancy shifted to the top one. You're going to take it easy right here and then go home with me. She started to protest, looked around at the set features, and then shrugged. Fine. She didn't feel all that good anyway. Her shoulder did hurt, but she wasn't about to mention that and get another lecture. Why didn't they just kill Aaron? They didn't mind in the least killing me. Or Giovanni. Why the elaborate plan? Best guess, Stefano said. Jealousy. They wanted his title, and wanted Aaron to see them in the winner's seat. Or at least James did. He seemed to be the leader between the two of them. They both wanted to win the competitions for the groupies. They probably got talking over a bottle of booze one night, sat around talking smack about Aaron, and then thought up ways to actually get rid of him. The more they talked, the more elaborate the plan and the better it sounded. We've seen it before. We know all this. But can we get enough evidence to convict them? Sasha asked. The three men looked at one another. It was Giovanni who spoke. Gently. Baby, we just have to get Aaron off. That shouldn't be difficult now that we know where to look. I don't understand. The cops are going to want to arrest them. They'll try. Stefano agreed. Let's go home. My woman is waiting for me. And for all you observant shadow riders, not one of you noticed she wasn't drinking alcohol when we came to the club dancing. I better that you'd notice, and I lost that bet. Giovanni and Taviano both looked at their brother like he'd lost his mind. She used to drink Moscow mules and cosmopolitans, but for the last few months it's been water, or sparkling water. Maybe you haven't been paying attention. Stefano gave them his mean look. There is very little Francesca does that I don't notice. Giovanni nudged Sasha. Pay attention, baby. I follow in Stefano's footsteps when it comes to my woman. I notice everything. She thought about giving him a smart-ass answer, but she remained silent. She really wanted to go home and soak in that fabulous tub in the master suite. Giovanni glanced at Stefano. Will you be inviting our New York cousins to come for my wedding? Of course. Perfect. I can't wait to see them. Come on, baby. Let's go home. He knelt down to slip her heels back on her feet. His hands brushed her ankles as he did up the straps.
"Who knew you were so good with a shoe?"
"I have many talents." She sent him a small smile.
"One of them is not staying out of trouble when your man is fighting."
"In my defense," she said, "I didn't know he was that good."
Taviano choked.
Stefano turned away, clearing his throat.
Giovanni stood up slowly. "I've been keeping count of all your little indiscretions," he warned. "I believe in punishments."
She laughed. "I'll be looking forward to that." Her smile faded, and she took his hand to allow him to pull her up. "You do know it goes both ways, right?"
Giovanni wrapped his arm around her.
"Not sure what you mean, woman." "I'm very good with ropes. Hog-tying is something of a specialty. Torturing is second nature." She leaned into him, and he put his head down so her lips were against his ear. "I'm very, very good with my mouth." He laughed as they walked down the hall to the private entrance and exit for the Ferraro family. Once in the parking lot, he handed her gently into the car.
"Your shoulder is going to be black and blue. I wanted to beat the crap out of Tom."
Babe, I think you did. I think both of them are going to wake up very sore tomorrow.
They'll be celebrating tonight, thinking they put one over on Aaron. You played your part beautifully, Sasha. I will say, I didn't expect them to follow you into the break room. We had it set up to watch over you at their table, but this was so much better, especially when they attacked me.
Do you have someone watching them?
He nodded as he slid onto the seat beside her. Rico is following James, and Mariko is following Tom. If they're together, which we hope, they'll talk. They won't be able to help but brag. That's just another nail in the coffin. We'll be able to provide that to the investigators, along with everything else we've got on them. There's going to be plenty of proof.
And Aaron? He'll have to stay in jail a little longer, just until after we're married.
That long?
She put her head on his shoulder and closed her eyes against the stream of lights.
Baby, we're getting married in 2 days.
She couldn't help but smile at the reprimand in his voice. Of course, she knew when they were getting married.
Aren't you a little afraid for Mariko and Rico?
If one or both get caught, I'm sure Tom or James won't have a problem shooting them.
They'll never come out of the shadows. In any case, even if they did, they're too well-trained and far too fast. Rico is the fastest of all of us.
It surprised her that Giovanni would name his brother faster, but she realized none of the Ferraro brothers ever bragged. They teased one another, but they didn't brag out of the family circle or in it. They were arrogant, but it came from a place of complete confidence.
"He's really that much faster than you?"
She had just seen Giovanni in action, and if he was fast enough to take on 2 mixed martial arts fighters, then Rico had to be insanely fast.
"Yes, and he never, never gets turned around in a city."
"I didn't think about that happening," she admitted. She reached down to rub at her aching ankle. Her feet were still painful. Immediately, Giovanni lifted her feet into his lap and undid the tiny buckles on the thin straps. He dropped the shoes onto the floor and began to massage her feet. His fingers were strong, and they moved into her sore muscles, a deep pressure, until she wanted to cry with relief.
"That feels so good, honey," she admitted.
"I should have stopped James, but my feet hurt so bad I was shameless."
"You were," he agreed, but he didn't stop. "We'll talk about that more when we get home."
"Are we going to talk about how your skanky actress with the roving tongue managed to slip through security and get into the employee lounge when we get home as well?"
"Don't try diversion. It won't work. Meredith isn't my actress, and you can handle 10 actresses like her with one hand tied behind your back. If we stopped her and not the other 2, it would have possibly given away the fact that we were letting them slip through on purpose."
She was a bit mollified that he believed she could handle Meredith so easily.
"We're also going to talk about how you didn't exit the room when you were supposed to, before the fighting started.
I gave you enough time, but you didn't take it. Worse, you threw your shoe at Tom so he'd come at you. Those MMA fighters could break your jaw with one punch. I'm scrappy and fast. I had to be, working with cattle and horses. He sent her a look that said he wasn't happy with her, and she was going to hear about it, so she thought it prudent to change the subject. She glanced at the front seat where Enzo drove and Emilio sat on the passenger side. You said Rico never loses his way. How do people get turned around in the shadows? You're moving very fast. The speed is insane, especially narrow shadows. Some tubes are like slick rails. Everything is blurred because you're moving so fast. The neighborhoods are unfamiliar. I know my way around Chicago, but I usually work in San Francisco, Los Angeles, or New York. I've even worked overseas. Rico trained in Japan. All of us trained in Europe or Asia, sometimes both. Your life is fascinating. The car stopped, and Emilio opened the door for them. Giovanni slipped out first and then reached for her. Gathering her into his arms, he cradled her close to his chest. Sasha put her arms around his neck and leaned into him, inhaling his scent. He smelled like home to her now. He carried her as if she weighed no more than a feather, as if she was a princess. She knew he carried her because her feet hurt. He was like that, paying attention to every detail. He carried her through the house, right to the master suite. She loved the way the house was set up, and she'd already been adding her own touches here and there. She would be bringing treasures she had put in storage, thankfully, things that had belonged to her parents and brother. For now it was little things, like arranging flowers in large vases and scattering them around the house. Her mother had loved flowers. She grew them in the garden and then cut them for the house. Sasha had always thought it was a little silly since the flowers were right outside, but now she really wanted to surround herself with the things that reminded her of her mother, and she wanted her own garden. Giovanni deposited her in the armchair right in front of the fireplace and went on through to the bath to fill the square, oversized tub. She picked up the remote and started the flames so they flickered and threw out dancing shadows. Putting her head back, she looked around the room with its high ceilings and beautiful appointments. She had never thought that she might be living in luxury. She still had a difficult time coming to terms with it. She wasn't certain she would ever actually do so. Baby. She turned her head almost lazily. Her man stood in the doorway, watching her. She smiled at him, the feeling of love so strong her heart felt shaky with it. Right here, Giovanni. I don't know if I can move. You don't have to. I'll undress you and get you in the bath. The hot water will help. It's strange to think that someone would try to kill us, both of us. Not because we did anything to them, but because they wanted to hurt someone else. That kind of thinking eludes me. Do you think we've got it wrong? I mean, really, that's so bizarre. Unfortunately, people kill for all kinds of reasons, Sasha. They hurt each other and steal from each other. I've always found the useless robberies to be the thing I find hard to understand. Killing for $5 or a candy bar. How does a person do that? He shrugged. I don't want you thinking about it anymore. We're home, and we're safe. I know your brother is, because I just checked on him. We've tightened security there, and no one is going to get near him.
Thank you. She flashed him a small grin. I was just sitting here, thinking I could never get used to this. But that right there, being able to make a phone call and have someone actually talk to you and reassure you that Sandlin was in his room and sound asleep, an actual person reassuring you at this time of night, that I could get used to.
He laughed. I suppose I'm spoiled. I would expect it. In fact, if someone didn't get their ass in gear and tell me immediately, I might get them fired. I've had that since I was very young.
You were spoiled?
She stretched lazily. He walked over to her, and she watched him come, his muscles moving beneath his tight shirt, his dark features so beautiful to her. He scooped her out of the chair and took her into the bathroom.
It was every bit as luxurious as the bedroom. The fireplace in there was lit as well. Flames flickered, licking at the logs.